Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show. Before we begin, let's hear a quick message from our sponsor.
Hello, HR. It's me, your HR data. And I need to apologize. I'm sorry for being all over the place. I'm sorry for being difficult. I'm sorry for not being there for you. But it's not my fault. You put me in different HR systems and messy spreadsheets. But guess what? I now have a new friend, and their name is Employee Cycle. They can put all of me in one HR dashboard for you and keep me updated and simple so we'll better understand each other. Look, we're smarter when we're working together, so if you want me to show you my full potential, please go to employeecycle.com to get your free demo today. That's employeecycle.com.
Hey there, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host for today, Bruce Marable, CEO of the HR Analytics Dashboard Employee Cycle. And today, I am very, very excited to talk about this topic because we've never covered it before. And it's around how employers can avoid hidden medical expenses. That's right. Companies spend a lot in healthcare. So if you can proactively save some money on healthcare, I think that would be pretty awesome. So please help me welcome Dr. Joy McGee Corey, SVP of Advanced Plan for Health, to the podcast. Woo! Welcome!
Thank you, Bruce.
So thanks so much for coming to the podcast. Really excited to have this conversation with you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
We always start off with asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of human resources?
Well, I started out life as a medical group administrator and then went into hospital administration. Then our hospital system had an HMO and an insurance company and moved to the insurance side of business. And so that's where I've spent most of my life career on the health plan benefit side of business, but have worked with human resources managers, certainly when I was with a medical group practice, a large medical group practice, working with on the workers' comp side, but then working as an employer too on the health benefits side. I also taught human resources management as an adjunct professor for a couple of colleges, but have worked in the health plan administration space for several years. And we, after a health plan was sold to a national company, several of us got together and we were looking at what can we do to help employers with the increases that they were experiencing in their health plan expenses for their employees. They were seeing double digit growth every year, and then also, you know, with them actually doubling in 3 years. And so we were looking at what can we do. When we started out, we didn't have the analytics that we knew that could help with those costs. But then as we came together and we looked at the different aspects of what we could do and help employers to understand the different components of the cost. And that's where we developed a system, an advanced analytics system, Poindexter, that helps to pinpoint those costs and then help to human resources managers and employers with reducing those costs.
And then what do you do as SVP of Advanced Plan for Health?
I work with a lot of different types of employer groups, health systems, construction companies, home health agencies, a lot of different types of industries, but working with their human resources managers and looking at and with their brokers and with their CFOs in trying to optimize their health plan cost and you know, what's the best fit for them as far as who is their claims administrator, what benefits do they offer, where are their costs going right now? Where can we cut? Where can we, is a different provider network going to save them money? But just looking at all of the different aspects of their health plan. Also, what can they do as far as population health management to have a healthier employee base, and then with their dependents, and then whether that's in initiating a wellness program, or then also working with their health plan on the utilization management and care management and disease management, chronic care management, to help people make sure that they're managing their chronic conditions such as diabetes, hypertension, chronic kidney disease, but the different aspects of illness.
So the topic today is how employers can avoid hidden medical expenses. And so the first thing that we need to talk about is, what are hidden medical expenses?
There could be some hidden medical expenses from the administrative side. You know, what's included in your claims administration fee? And that would also be your provider network. Are you paying per employee per month rate, or are you paying a percentage of savings? If your network pays you're paying your network based on a percentage of savings, and it could be very costly. So making sure that you're trying to have those costs. What about your broker fees? What's included as far as utilization management or case management? Are those included, bundled in your pricing? Then also looking at your pharmacy claims. So there are different aspects of cost savings, whether it's administrative, your medical claims, your prescription drug claims, and then your population health management, which would include wellness and utilization management, case management, and disease management.
And where do you see most companies actually overpaying or having these hidden medical expenses where they don't even know they're paying for things that they are paying for?
Well, on the administrative side, it may be that they're paying for, like I said, on the provider network. A provider network will contract with physicians, hospitals, and at a lower rate than what they have on billed charges. And so that may be a discount of 10% to maybe 50+% discount. And so if you're paying on a percentage of savings, then you're probably then, and usually that would be 35% of savings, then you're paying a large amount of money for that network. Also, if you're contracting with a network that isn't very robust for your area and that your employees can't use, they're going to be going to other providers. Well, then it's not of benefit for you to be contracting with that network. You may need to switch to a different network that has more of the providers that your employees and their dependents are wanting to use. So again, on the provider network side, the best way to contract is on the per employee per month basis versus on a percentage of savings basis. On administration too, I see that there may be hidden brokerage fees that they're paying, and certainly I think brokers need to be reimbursed, but just understanding how much is your broker fee and what are you getting for those services. It may be, and certainly part of what they're doing is maybe getting stop loss insurance for those catastrophic claims that come in. Then on the medical claim side, you see it from a lot of different perspectives. It could be that it's from providers that are unbundling claims. That means that they may be billing for a lot of different procedures and that should be wrapped into a total package. So package pricing that should be paid. So you're looking for that. And then also out-of-network claims, how are those being paid, or if they are being paid? And so looking at are they being paid on the bill charges or percentage of savings, or is somebody, are they going out and trying to negotiate a claim for you? And then it may not even be reasonable, but you're paying a percentage of savings there. Also with medical claims, wanting to make sure that your claims administrator and you have a good understanding as to what is a covered service so that you can help your employees to maximize and optimize those employee benefits. You don't want to have overutilization of services, but you want to have the appropriate care. One of the things that you'd want to do is make sure that you've got provisions for urgent care visits and primary care visits so that people don't end up in the emergency room with a lot of costs because the provider that's seeing them doesn't know anything about them. And so they have to order a lot of tests to try to rule out a different types of diagnoses. So you want to make sure that people are using the emergency room appropriately and that this is a savings for the employees and their dependents, but also for you as a health plan, because emergency room is one of the most costly places to go, especially for a minor type situation. And then on prescription drug claims or prescription drugs, you want to look at your pharmacy benefits and do they promote utilization of generic drugs versus brand name drugs. It's cheaper for the health plan if generic drugs are being used, but you'd want your benefits to promote that if those are medically appropriate. And then on brand name drugs, are they being used in a stepwise manner? Usually with most and with good pharmacy benefits managers, they have step therapy in place where you're paying, where there's a provider or a drug would be recommended as a first, and these are based on pharmacy and therapeutic committee, so of physicians, but the first line of evidence-based medicine practices, that a first line of treatment would be one antibiotic, for instance, and then if that doesn't work, then you go to the next level of antibiotics and then to the next level, but trying to make sure that, and the same would be on anti-inflammatories or different types of drugs, but you're using a stepwise therapy versus going to the newest and the greatest that may not have a lot of experience out there as far as how effective that drug is. So looking at that in a stepwise manner. Another would be who's getting the pharmacy rebates. In most cases, drug manufacturers pay rebates back to the health plan for the drugs that are being utilized by the plan. And you would want to know who's getting those rebates. Is a broker getting part of that, or is a third party administrator, your claims administrator, getting part of those rebates, or are all of those coming back to you? And then how much are your real administrative expenses as far as your drugs are concerned?
Wow, that was a lot. That was great, but that was a lot. And I know that my brain is spinning right now. So I'm so curious, one, how big is this problem? Because that sounds like a lot of money being wasted, okay, or a lot of costs being hidden.
Oh, there are a lot of hidden costs, but what you want to do is to make sure that you've got the analytics that you as a human resources manager, the analytic capabilities where you can see where your costs are going and where, what is your generic drug utilization? What is your in-network steerage? How much of your costs are going to in-network providers versus out-of-network providers? Are your members or your employees and their dependents getting their preventive medicine visits done on an annual basis? How many, what percentage are getting those? What is your compliance with taking drugs or getting the appropriate drugs as far as diabetics or your hypertensives? Are they getting the drugs are they taking the drugs that have been prescribed that would help them to stay healthy? Are they getting their lab tests done? So there are a lot of different analytics that a human resources manager should be looking at that could help them. Then on the predictive analytics side, with Advanced Plan for Health, we have capabilities of predicting how much your costs are going to be for the next 12 months, predicting, and this is based on having medical claims, pharmacy claims, biometric testing that may come in from wellness exams and even dental claims, but looking at that and doing a phenotyping of each individual and predicting the risk of each individual that's on your health plan and predicting what those costs are, but then looking at how can you have those people be healthy? Are they getting the different tests that are being done that should be recommended for their different types of conditions? Then we would also want to look at predicting, and our analytics also predict, you know, how many people are predicted and who are those people that are predicted to have an emergency room visit in the next 12 months? How many people are predicted to have a hospital admission in the next 12 months, a heart attack? So there are things that a human resources manager should be able to query with their health plan to see if those if they have those capabilities of reporting on that for you.
Wow. So this is what I'm curious about, because I talk to a lot of HR professionals every day about data and analytics, since we sell an HR dashboard.
And uh-huh, right.
Uh-huh. There's the widest spectrum of HR professionals when it comes to data, from those who may not even know how to export a file from a system, all the way to people operations professionals who are predictive analytics specialists themselves and can comb through data and do a lot of regression analysis and a lot of other advanced analytics methods. But my question to you is, do you think that most HR professionals have the skill set and or understanding of this big complex problem to be able to analyze any of this data to really figure it out? And is this what your company does, or are you only doing the predictive side and you rely on the internal HR professional to really figure out what's happening today?
I think that's where you really want to make sure that you're partnering with someone who's going to help you as an HR manager to understand the analytics, and you may not want to know the nitty gritty of it, but you want to have that big picture of what's going on with your health plan, and are people getting the services, and are you optimizing what you're spending for your health plan? But no, I think most do not have the resources themselves to do the analytics. But I think most human resources managers know the basics about health plan administration, but they just don't know how all the pieces fit together and then where they might look to make sure that they're optimizing their return on their investment.
So if I'm putting myself in the shoes of an HR professional who's listening to this podcast now, I'm thinking, this all sounds great, but when am I going to find the time to look into all of those things that you just talked about? Because that sounds scary. And if those costs are hidden, well, they can stay hidden, because I'm probably not going to find them with my crazy schedule. How do I go about doing this? Is there a way to break this apart where it's digestible, where you say, you know what, here's step A or step one, this is where you can start, and this is how you can really start figuring out not only how much hidden costs are you paying for, but what are those hidden costs?
And I think that's where you get into making sure that you have maybe on a monthly basis just a dashboard report that gives you the basics of what's going on with your health plan. But then on a quarterly, or usually with most clients, it's not, you know, it could be quarterly or it could be three times a year. You're looking at, you know, your last year's plan performance, and then you're getting ready for that next year. Certainly with the Affordable Care Act and with data analytics now, there wasn't that much planning, but usually right at now, that is right after you start a new plan year for your health plan, then you're already starting on what can we do next year to make it even better. So, but making sure that you have maybe a monthly dashboard that gives you those top level reports, and then on an annual basis, you're getting down into the nitty gritty and dissecting all of the pieces and making sure that you're optimizing those benefits. But you can make a lot of changes even on a monthly basis, looking at your in-network utilization and then those overall costs, looking at your claims turnaround time, how fast are claims being paid. So you can do a lot on a monthly basis, but this is usually with a dashboard report.
Got it. A lot of times HR has to be very careful with what they're spending their time on and resources on, because they're always looking to prove the ROI of what they're doing. So in regards to going to the other stakeholders and saying, hey, we're going to do this big report, this big project to really focus on these hidden costs, I might need to bring in some other people to help me. What kind of ROI can I expect, or what kind of savings, or in the form of savings, should I expect to see, whether it's a percentage size or a dollar amount size? And to that same question, does this only work for large companies where there's a ton of savings that you could potentially realize? Because if I'm a small company, is this even worth my time?
Most of our clients we have clients that are from 200 employees to 25,000 employees, so, or more. So, you know, you're looking at different size clients. Usually you would be targeting maybe your at least 100 employees that you would be looking at. But you can expect a return on your investment probably to be two to three times what you're spending your money on. And that's in wellness programs or with other population health initiatives. That's what we're seeing, that you can get a return on your investment for doing these predictive analytics and implementing population health programs that are going to help your employee population and also your cost.
Do you find that doing this type of exercise is better for certain industries than others? Or it really doesn't matter, all companies pretty much can realize these savings equally?
I think all companies can realize those savings. I mentioned construction companies. We also work with department stores. We work with professionals, lawyer, attorney firms, all different types of industries. So no, I don't think that it's just isolated to certain industries. Certainly maybe your healthcare industries have maybe a broader base that they're working from. And so, we have clients from all different types of industries, trucking industries, just all different types.
So can we actually walk through the process of how this actually works? So once I start, or once I want to start doing this and I want to start finding where these hidden medical costs are, where do I start? Am I calling up my benefits broker and asking them for a lot of data? Am I going through my self-service benefit platform and trying to understand all this data together? What's step one for me?
Okay, probably step one for you is finding a data manager, an analytics company, a partner, and this may be working with your broker, or it could be you contracting directly, but with a company like Advanced Plan for Health. And what we usually do is we ask for 2 to 3 years of medical claims and pharmacy claims data that would be on hand. And then if you have a wellness program, we would want to have that information as far as your biometric testing, you know, height and weight and blood pressure, and then your lab tests if those are involved in your wellness program. But we would want to have that data too, so that we can do the best types of analytics for you as far as that phenotyping for each one of your employees. But that would be your first step, we would get that information from your claims administrator and your pharmacy benefits manager. And we work with third-party administrators and insurers, actually, throughout the United States, and get the data from them. And we actually get it for that first time, you know, wanting 2 years if we can, 2 to 3 years if we can, and then that data is fed to your analytics company on a monthly basis.
Okay. And if I only have 1 year of data, can you still help me?
Yes, sure can. Because any data that you have is going to help with that phenotyping of your individuals. So we work with some plans that may have 6 months of data, but we really like to have 2 years if we can.
And you've been using the word or the term phenotyping. For those who may have never heard that term before, can you explain what that is?
that's taking a lot of different data sets and putting them into what makes up your population. And so each population is, each person is very different, but looking at their demographics, their age, gender, their height and weight, the different types, things that are going on with them, that also means their claims, medical claims, where have they had medical claims, what have been the diagnoses, and then just actually creating just a phenotype or a risk, predicted risk for each individual based on those different discrete aspects of what makes up that person. It also means utilization could be, and there are certainly geographic differences. So looking at different aspects of each individual person that's in your population.
Thanks for that explanation. So as the HR person that's working with you, I give you access to all of my claims data through my claims administrator or my broker or whoever's helping me package this data. I give it to you, and now you start to analyze the data, correct?
Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
And then what does
yes.
that process look like?
That process, we map it to our systems, and then we put it through our systems. We actually look at, give you an opportunity assessment based on your utilization, your cost, where you have people, what percentage of people that you have are have chronic conditions. People with those chronic conditions, are they managing them? Whether people are getting preventive medicine visits, and so we give you a where are those opportunities? Certainly, one of the things we see that if with a percentage of savings, if, for everyone that has a preventive medicine visit because they have a relationship with a primary care physician. And then also, with breast cancer, colon cancer screenings, cervical cancer screenings, and then are they compliant with their medications or getting the lab tests that would be needed for their chronic conditions? And then there's a detailed opportunity assessment, and then each group would decides on their own, then usually goals are set, and then an action plan is developed, and some plans work very well for some companies, but then each individual company is has its unique issues, and so trying to make sure that we have a plan in place that will work for that industry and for that geographic location.
And are you helping companies draft and create this action plan as well? Or are you just giving them the data and saying, here's the things you could do. Now you go and you figure out what that looks like.
Oh, very good question. No, we're helping them work through it. And it's a working session where we can work together to decide what's the best plan. And it, sometimes it may take, we were going in stepwise fashion. It may take, you may want to do a 1, 2, 3 year plan as to where you're going to progress for the future.
Okay. And how long does this process typically take?
As far as you mean from the time that we get the data until we can present an opportunity assessment?
Sure. Yep.
For that, it usually takes about 2 to 3 months. And so we have, as I mentioned, maybe that we are mapped with most third-party administrators and the major insurers in the United States. And so it usually doesn't take very long after we get the data that we can start doing the analytics. And so, but we are mapped, but it usually takes about 2 to 3 months to actually have that opportunity assessment and be able to present it to you.
And once a company goes through this entire process, what do you typically see them doing afterwards in the sense of changing plan? I mean, are they changing brokers? Are they just changing plans? Do you typically see people going with something totally radically different, or is it more so adjusting what they have?
What we usually see is that they're fine-tuning what they already have because they, obviously they're interested in knowing what's going on. So it usually is in a stepwise fashion. So they're usually fine-tuning what they already have in place and then maybe making more drastic steps at a later date. But then looking at it may be the next budget cycle that they may add a wellness program or they may add different aspects to their wellness program. They may target coaching with chronic conditions, and that may be that we're looking at diabetics one this year, and then we may broaden that to people with hypertension the next year so that there's some coaching, but it's usually a stepwise fashion.
So that's interesting. So a big part of this is actually focusing on cohorts of your employee population based off of different types of chronic condition?
That's correct. Yes, it is.
Okay.
And what can we do to make them healthier and have healthier lifestyles?
And what are the most popular chronic conditions that people are typically looking to save healthcare costs on?
Could be asthma, diabetes, chronic kidney disease, hypertension, coronary artery disease. Those are the most common, but we do see in some industries low back pain, back injuries. So that's also, you know, a chronic condition. One of the things that we're focusing on in the last year has been on looking at the use of pain medications and how can we make sure that those are being used appropriately too.
Got it. And I know you've been bringing up wellness programs pretty frequently. So when we're talking about wellness programs, it's a little ambiguity when it comes to that term, because I know that wellness could be helping people stop smoking. Wellness could be yoga. Wellness could be taking people out of the office to walk, because apparently sitting is the new smoking. So what do those wellness programs typically look like for the companies that you're working with? And also, it almost sounds like what you're doing is a way to show ROI for wellness, which I know a lot of companies struggle with.
Yes. Okay. So usually there's a health risk assessment. That's just a simple questionnaire that the employee fills out. In some cases, with some groups, it's the employee, but then in other groups, it's the spouse also, but starting with a health risk assessment, and then usually with biometric testing, and that would be height, weight, looking at blood pressure, then also with some very limited, laboratory testing, which would be your cholesterol check and could be your blood sugar. And so those are things that are typically, you know, start with. But then you really need that wellness champion within the organization who is going to be promoting this on an ongoing basis. But as you mentioned, could be coming up with wellness activities where people get points or get credit for participating in a walking program, for doing exercise classes, for nutrition counseling, for different aspects. So looking at an ongoing program that's not just targeted for the first couple of months of the year, but looking at for the whole year, helping people to have a more healthy lifestyle. And then what we would be doing, you know, on the analytics side is we would be measuring cost or their biometrics from looking back maybe 3 months before, and then looking at how has their health improved after the wellness program.
And then does your company charge by taking a percentage of the savings that you help companies receive, or is there a cost that's a flat fee or some type of custom price? And then your bet is that they'll be saving a lot more than what they actually paid your company.
We're paid on a per employee per month basis or on a per member per month basis. And it could be, you can do that either way. One would be on the per employee is how many employees are in the health plan that you're looking at. And then on a per member per month basis, it would be, you know, how many people are the employee plus all of their dependents, you know, are in that. So it's usually on a flat fee that's based on a per employee per month or a per member per month and not on a percentage of savings.
And then let's zoom out a little bit from the specific company to more national trends. What are some of the things that's happening around wellness or healthcare, insurance that have been really changing the way that your company is doing business?
I think certainly one of the things is that you have I think everyone expects to have data analytics very quickly. I can remember when I first got into the business, we were waiting on reports that were 90 days old or 120 days old. And so now, I think we're into an environment where we're wanting to see things instantly. So, you know, you want to at least, you know, you want to have a monthly look at what's going on. So that's one of the things that I'm seeing. And also, I think that there's a lot more emphasis now on people taking care of themselves, not just making sure that we have a healthy life, you know, until old age, and not that we're looking at just taking care of just chronic conditions or an acute illness. But there's been a big change there.
Got it. And then before we go to the next section, could you just give some words of wisdom to anyone out there who's looking to begin this journey of data analytics in their benefits and insurance department to really figure out how they can uncover costs, anything that would make them feel confident that they actually have the skill sets, the time, and the resources to start this before they would call somebody like you to really take it to the next level?
Okay, I think certainly most are already partnered with a broker or with a third party administrator, claims administrator for their health plan. So, be working with them, and then contracting with a data analytics company like Advanced Plan for Health, and that's a good, and making sure that that's a good fit for your organization, and that it's not just, you know, or looking at a quick fix, but looking at something that's going to, that we're going to be working together for this next year, next 2 years, next 3 years, making sure that we're fine tuning as we go along.
I know you talk to people every day about very serious topics, cancer and wellness. Yes. And insurance. So now we're going to lighten the mood a little bit. We're going to have a little fun with this section of the podcast. So, now we're going to enter my favorite section, which I like to call the real, the random, and the ridiculous, where I ask you a real, a random, and a ridiculous question. So okay. The first question, the real question, do you like bread pudding? And if so, how do you like it made?
No, I really don't like it.
Oh, no. And we were doing so well. We were doing so well. I mean, we were talking about benefits and hidden costs, and we were bonding here, and then you just broke my heart. Okay. That's fine. I do love bread pudding, so I always like to know, especially when I'm interviewing people outside of the Philly region, if you love bread pudding, because whenever I'm in town, I always want to go and find out where the best bread pudding is. But you don't like it, so I guess I won't be getting that from you. All right. So, the random question.
Yes.
You talk to a lot of people about wellness. So, how do you make sure that you have your own wellness program for yourself? Like, how does Dr. Joy make sure that you are taking care of yourself and that you're not getting too bogged down to the data and you're not stressed and burnt out?
You know, that's a really good question, and that's one that I wished you hadn't asked, but I guess the main thing is making time for yourself, even though everyone has a very hectic lifestyle nowadays, but making sure that you have time for yourself and for your family and for your spiritual well-being also, and then making time, and it really takes making time for exercise and for having those reminders about your wellness visits and making sure that you're drinking your fluids, making sure, you know, you're watching what you're eating. But it's an ongoing battle, I think, for everyone, no matter if you're in the wellness business or not. But even people in the wellness business, it's difficult.
Okay. And then the ridiculous question. So you're always talking to companies about how they can uncover and save these hidden costs. But I'm sure there are some companies that are doing some pretty ridiculous things that make your job very difficult, or they're doing ridiculous things that are not helping them out to make sure that their employees are happy and healthy. So without saying any company names, are there any ridiculous practices that you've seen where you really just had to scratch your head and say, do you really care about your employees? Do you really want them to be healthy?
Certainly. I think the people that the employers that I work with are really, they're very conscientious about wanting for their employee health. So, you know, that's, I think the main thing would be on the ridiculous would just be doing nothing, that you're, that the employer is just paying their health benefits and not paying attention to it. That would be what I would consider ridiculous.
Got it. Well, you nailed those questions, despite you not liking bread pudding.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you so much for coming to the podcast and discussing such an interesting topic. Like I said, we never talked about this before, and I think this is something that a lot of people will take back to their company and hopefully be reaching out to you to help them with this. So thank you very much for such an awesome podcast.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
So where can people find you and Advanced Plan for Health online?
We're at aph-online.com, and our offices are located in the DFW area, and advancedplanforhealth.com, mypoindexter.com. Poindexter is our data analytics system. I didn't give him enough credit, but that's what we've named our data analytics platform. But mypoindexter, mypoindexter.com.
Great, and we'll definitely include those in the show notes. To all the listeners out there, thanks again for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy the episode. If so, please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes. And if you haven't subscribed already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast player. And for you HR folks out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks for listening. Later, kids.